Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Tilted Landshark podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $500 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We are also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Welcome, everybody, to the Tilted Landshark Podcast. It is brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. What do? We talk AUDL. That is American Ultimate Disc League, Ultimate Frisbee, that flat ball, the sport that really confused you in the movie PCU. I'm one of your hosts, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oaklawn. I've got with me my my friend, my co-host, my esteemed colleague, Zach.
Yeah.
Still on vacation for him. So Zach, Avello, this week.
There it is.
Zach, how's it going, buddy?
I'm all right, man. Hey, welcome back, Chase.
Thank you. Thank you.
Back behind the steering wheel of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say thank you. Thank you to, yourself, but also, RVG Rod Villagomez for, stepping in and getting an episode out last week, especially, yeah. With such a big guest, it felt like. I mean, you got the commish.
We got the commish. Here. The commish is wise. He dropped some knowledge on us. It's been a week since we talked to him. It's been a week since we recorded a podcast. So it's been a minute. But that was a lot of fun talking to him because I was, I was talking to him offline or on the pod. I can't remember. But we're talking about how, like, we've got Eli, we had Matt Smith, Paul Lally, all these players, we had them on, and we kind of got in the heads of the athletes of the ADL. But to hear all that business get dropped on us, what they're trying to do to grow the sport, that was pretty fun. A lot was learned. And there's so much more potential that the league has. A big ceiling, huge ceiling. Yeah. And we're just sitting on the floor right now. So it's it was pretty cool to be a part of that.
I'll tell you what, the episode that you did with Rod was the one podcast that I listened to while I was on vacation. I was keeping an eye on it, making sure that our baby mm-hmm. was safe. And I'm going to tell you what, considering the caliber of guests that we had and my tendency to talk about hallucinogenics and other just, you know, seedy underbelly of ultimate sort of things. I feel like that vacation couldn't have been timed any better. It might have been, you know, for long-term relations, probably better that Rod stuck it in to get in there. But once again, just huge thanks to Rod.
I got the message from our editor to, hey, get Steve Hall on. And I think he knew you were going on vacation asking me to get Steve on. How was that vacation, by the way?
It was great. It was really good. I have not been on vacation for that length of time
unless I was, convalescing from like a back surgery.
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
Or just the birth of a child, have that. So I just getting shit done. So I hadn't had like an actual like vacation. My mother just retired from the University of Arkansas Medical School library, where she was like a cataloger. And then she also worked in the writing center, helping people like write grants and write papers and stuff. And, she was there for a very long time. She just retired, much deserved. So her and my retired dad, who's been trying to be Jimmy Buffett my entire life, got a house on the beach close to, I think, ancestral home of Jimmy Buffett, which I feel like wasn't a coincidence. And they're staying there for like a month. And so got to take the kids down there and, it was fun. It was fun. It was their first trip to the beach. A lot of fun swimming with the kids. It was great. It was really good.
Good. That's always a nice little sight. The kids' first time at the beach.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
I got like first introduction pictures of like them like putting a foot in the ocean. So that was cool.
Yeah. It's always fun. And then cleaning up all the sand and it just gets everywhere. It's right on the beach house was like right on the beach though, right? You didn't have to get in any cars. Okay.
No, there was a highway, a divided highway in between. Not like a crazy one or anything. Not like the one like Dwayne Haskins tried to walk on.
A beach highway.
Yeah, it was just like a beach highway. And so hey, I mean, this is the best.
Subtly slipped in there.
It was just to draw a comparison. That's all. So yes. It wasn't the best beach. Like it's so close to like the mouth of the Mississippi that the water was kind of muddy. It was like pretty warm water too, and like it was on like an oyster reef. So there's like oyster shells like all over the place, and they're like broken and sharp and stuff. So mostly we just pulled it, but it was cool like watching them pick up like shells and stuff.
Yeah. Fun fact about Dwayne Haskins, that highway he got hit on. The highway I used to travel a lot when I was a kid down in South Florida. So once I heard about that, like I pictured.
Yeah.
I hate to turn this story like complete 180 morbid, but.
Well, I mean.
I'm glad he had fun at the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that wasn't a dig at Dwayne Haskins or his untimely passing. It was just the best comparison I could draw at the time.
It made sense.
Yeah.
It
what can I say? I don't know what to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, simple minds.
Oh no!
So it's gonna get a lot of use. I told Zach I've got like a bunch of drops ready to go for these episodes that I actually my mind was so free and open on vacation that I scoured the internet for sound drops to drop in. But yeah, man, I hear you got drunk at a company picnic.
Oh wait, you heard that?
You told me.
Oh
so
no!
So then you definitely did.
Whoops. Yeah, we had a company picnic at a soccer game, kind of a not even minor league soccer. This is like the team came from Michigan that we played against, and they arrived in a school bus.
Is it like USISL like, sort of thing?
NAISL. NAISL sounds familiar.
My dad was the co-owner of a semi-pro soccer team in Little Rock, Arkansas when I was a kid.
Really? It could have been one of those leagues.
What a moneymaker that was, by the way.
Yeah, that's... Like I said, that team from Michigan came down in a school bus. So, picnic was fun, though. They've given out free drink tickets. And, in the South, half the people here don't drink.
So, I was
collecting tickets.
Yeah, there you go.
I was collecting tickets and just having a good time. So, that was a lot of fun.
What were you willing to give off of your roster for these drink tickets and trades and exchanges? Were you, like, throwing in, like, future, like, ticket draft all picks the, or like you
so I have a package premium package. It's $8.99 a month. Just one ticket will cover a free month of... People are too nice out here. It's the same hospitality. Drink up. Game ended in a classic 0-0 tie, that's why we love soccer, right? And ultimately they're scoring, which is fun.
So I'll tell you what, I used to work in the liquor industry. And we had a saying for when, like, there were company things like that, because we would go to, like, distilleries and breweries and, tap rooms and stuff. And it was, the saying was, no one gets promoted at any of these things, but people do get fired. So like, you always had to be, you're supposed to be repping the liquor brand, but like, do not do anything to look shit-faced.
Stupid.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Oh man. So we had some just wonderful AUDL action. I didn't get to keep up on it like I wanted to, because, you know, life. But I did get a chance to kind of follow the scores as they were going down, to cheer on our one dog that we really liked. But what'd you think of the play? Any big storylines develop out of this week?
A couple. I feel terrible for Indy, by the way. They were, Madison lost, Indy lost. Not a lot happened in the third spot in the Central. But man, that could have been a huge step up to take that third spot. Nothing big. American team still can't make it to well in Canada unless you're in New York. Oakland with a complete 180, flipping their season around. And Portland sucks. And I'm sure we'll get more into that later on.
We're definitely gonna have to talk our beloved Spiders here, because they had themselves a weekend, just a really good weekend. You know, poor San Diego. Yeah. I just got to say, because it was their chance to really put themselves in a position to maybe kind of assert themselves with Colorado, with Salt Lake Colorado and Salt Lake to maybe make a push. And they kept it close until late. This is one of the ones I was watching live, just watching the numbers update on my phone.
That was the other team I was going to say.
What's Paul Lally with the score also. Let's throw that out there. A lollipop.
The only thing that was going for San Diego is Paul Lally and Travis Dunn. We'll get into their games because Goose wasn't there. But yeah, another team I'm just like, what is going on? They were my choice to finish the top of the West, eventually to lose to Colorado in the final playoff game. But yeah, they're just disappointing. They're -5.5-point underdogs. I would have never guessed they would have been any more than 1 or 2 point dog going into the season in any game, but to be -5.5, -6 against these teams, and obviously they can't keep up. It's the West looks like it should just be a 2-divisional playoff race, while, you know, the teams like in the South should have 3.
So I'm, you know, all right, we'll get into the full breakdown of the lines and everything, but what do you think are the biggest stories coming out of this weekend? Is it the way that Oakland has really kind of turned it on? Is it the way that, the way that Madison continues to confound? What's the headline here?
The big headline? I think the big headline is the way San Diego disappointed. Kind of a negative headline. No, nothing really stood out as for winners. Great, good for Oakland, the kind of turnaround they have. But the big headline right now, since they're a playoff team, is San Diego's just falling apart. And honestly, are a big tier below these other playoff teams, and it's shown by this past weekend.
Yeah, it's the West is kind of starting to look into like a little bit of a log jam. The East has sorted itself out. The Central still kind of, or the South still kind of open. But you know what? We're going to get all into these after we take a quick break, pay some bills. We'll be right back with more Tilted Landshark on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Make sure to get down on the Wins Bet $50 to win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Bet $500 or more on sports or casino before July 31st, 2022. Get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a 2-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WinBet app or visit WynNBet.com. to get started. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the Tilted Landshark Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Chase Sessions, with my other host, Zach Avello. And time has come. Let's take a look at how these games shook out week 9 in the AUDL. Let's see who's a good team, who's a great team, and who just has that dog in them. So, starting off in the East, the only game in the East this week, we had Boston going to Toronto as a 4.5-point favorite. Total set at 44, or as a 4.5 point favorite, total set at 44.5, and they were a minus 450 favorite on the money line. I tell you what, I was really hyped up for Boston this one. I had not been trusting of Toronto.
Is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
We deserve that. I deserve all right, that.
Story time real quick. I know we're about to dive into the games, but I got a quick story. When I was in grad school, I got my master's degree in chemistry, and we had to teach labs. We had to teach undergrads their labs that they took. And one of my lab mates was teaching bioorganic chemistry. Mm-hmm. And his reports were given to him.
Yes, I'm going to raise my hand. Will you call on me? I got my...
Go ahead, Chase.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Zach. Were you like a teacher, or were you like a TA?
TA.
Okay. Did you find love as a TA? That seems to be a common theme in pornography.
None. Okay. Not a lot of chemistry going on in the chemistry labs.
All right. We're going to blow right past what you just said. Story. Back to the story.
So someone answered a question in the report that my lab mate got, and it was so bad, so incoherent. I literally looked up that quote, copied and pasted it under the notes from the teacher part of the grade, and told my buddy, hey, give this back to him. Give him a zero, and he'll get a kick out of it. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So that is always a go-to quote when someone just, like us, trying to pick Boston minus four going up in Canada.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that kid now, and I'm like, and now, I mean, he seems to be doing well serving 20 of his 25 to life term after he flipped out after that one.
I called that guy.
Here's the problem is, one, I don't think I looked at where this game was being played, because if I had realized they were playing this in Toronto, I'm sure I looked and I just didn't realize. I realized they were playing in Toronto, and that American teams don't do well when they cross the border, like you said, unless they are New York.
Yeah.
And I should have, there are trends, and I paid attention to the wrong one.
Yeah, so Boston went into Canada earlier this year on a road trip, lost to Ottawa, lost to Montreal. I'm thinking they've got their legs back under them. That was some early season woes, but yeah, in Toronto, we just don't have any faith in Toronto. That defense is pretty atrocious. So I was on Boston minus 4.5 also, and lo and behold, these under 500 teams in the East, don't trust them going up into Canada at all. I mean, it's who was it? It's Boston. It's Philadelphia is right around 500. I think they still have a road trip up there. So
sure,
it's a tough stretch. It's just not a lot to trust there from the Boston squad.
Yeah. Speaking of, I don't trust it because I don't know what it is. That's the Madison Radicals. They had a game against Minnesota, the wind chill. Minnesota was the 4-point favorite. Oh boy, did they cover that. And it looks like it was a total of 39.5 on the money on the total. And they were big favorites on the money line. And the big favorites on the money line absolutely handled business, doubling up Madison 22-11. Mm-hmm. What do we make of the Madison Radicals?
Dude, I would, if I would have saw this line, I would have leaned towards Madison plus the 4. They played teams at their higher caliber very close. They also played teams of lower caliber pretty close. But throwing up 11
That's
points,
bad.
They didn't score more than 3 in a single quarter. It was really bad. 42 turnovers, which is a season high for any team in the AADL, which also leads to how good Minnesota is on defense.
Right.
A big strategy and ultimate sometimes is you put your 7 best players on offense, and the goal is for them to never turn the disc over, and you'll eventually on paper win the game. It looks like Minnesota's doing the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Their offense on the stat sheet isn't anything spectacular. I thought they were going to be, but their defense is disgusting scary. If you have one off game against them, Chicago has to play them in the playoffs for one game, and, you know, decides to have an off game, Paul Jonas doesn't do well, then this Minnesota team's going to make you look like Madison and only score 11. They look very impressive. No team outside of Chicago has put up more than 16 on this Minnesota team all season.
So just out of curiosity, because I know when I played club, we did the kind of the Minnesota sort of thing. When we put our very best athletes, our very best ultimate players out there on our D-line and let them be the team that generated, you know, generated points. And if they were on a roll, they could just stay out there. It was the less athletic guys that, like myself, were playing on the O-lines, and it was just their job to score and get it back to the D, you know? How did you guys play with the Night Watch and the Hustle? Was it the same thing or was it different?
Hustle, some of the more skilled players offensively, Miranda did a good job throwing people in the roles that they were best in. I mean, we talked to Matt Smith and Eli, fantastic cutters downfield.
Yep.
A lot of big egos, I guess, cutting on the offensive end for Atlanta. So they threw me in there as kind of a, hey, make sure everything is kind of stable back there. You put a lot of the good throwers on the Hustle. As for the Night Watch, it didn't matter who you threw on there. We're either going to get broken or we're going to just be walked all over by the offense. But we won't talk about that.
I'm sure you just go with what your talent depth is like. Because I guess if you're like a club team where you don't have like a huge roster, then you're probably going to want to put, I guess, your strongest players who have give you the best chance of scoring and have maximize their time on field being on D.
And this mini team is pretty deep. I mean, they don't have any standouts on this team, which probably helps. Like offensively, like week after week, it's someone else carrying the load. When I was always playing, you know, early college, it was definitely different, not the best. But the way I've always saw it is defense went out there to wear out the offense.
Yeah.
Whether you score a lot or not, if you wear out that offense and are able to break them late in game, you should be able to get the win.
Kind of the Hustle on D, rest on offense, and just kind of, maybe not exert as much energy on offense, exert the amount of energy that you need to keep them running after you constantly.
Exactly. The defense is usually the deepest, like you'll run 14, 18 players deep on defense.
Like scoring fast is great, but so is like playing like a slow, composed 5-minute mm-hmm. point. All right, moving on. Now that I've beat that subject into the ground, we had a really good matchup, a little bit of a shocker of a good matchup, I feel like. When you had the Chicago Union head down to take on the Indianapolis Alley Cats in the land where they don't see the sun in a domed enclosure. Colby Dan, if you're listening, we're sorry. We apologize. Indy was a 6-point dog here. The total, they can't set the totals high enough for games and domes. And Chicago falls, they actually get the money line. They didn't cover the 6-point spread, but they hit the minus 1200 on the money line. If anyone was feeling froggy there with the 24-23 win, the Chicago team is good. I said this before. When you go into Indianapolis and you play in the dome, there's a shock and awe factor, like the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan on Omaha Beach, where you realize that these guys can throw anything at you from anywhere because wind is not a factor.
Mm-hmm. And that was nearly the case for Chicago. In the first quarter, almost half their turnovers – almost half their turnovers came in the first quarter. It took them a minute to adjust. I would say the big kicker is Indy had their number for 42 minutes. 3.5 quarters, Indy was – controlling the game. It wasn't until the last half of the fourth quarter where Indy, I think, only put up one goal. They're off. I was watching this. I watched the back half of the fourth quarter because I saw that's where Chicago made the run. And Indy's offense looks stagnant. There's only so much, you know, you could throw the disc anywhere you want, but if you're not going to be able to have the energy to run around, then where can the thrower throw it? That was the case. Indy's only score came within a minute left, and they needed a desperate quick score. After being down two, and that's what happened. Cameron Brock had to make a hell of a play in the end zone. So Indy kind of fell apart there, had Chicago's number. And I was, like I said, like they were close. That probably would have solidified a 3 seed for them if they would have beaten Chicago and coasted the rest of the season. Because their schedule is probably easier than Madison's. Madison still has to play Indy, Minnesota and Chicago yet again for the last four games. So it's going to be tough for Madison. Indy could have probably locked up virtually a three seed here, but they'll have to keep grinding.
See, all right. So all this does is add even more intrigue to what the fuck is the Madison Radicals, because the Radicals had almost an identical game whenever they came into Indy. They had from the game flow all the way to the final score had almost an identical game with how this was played. So what did we learn from this game? Feels like absolutely nothing. I still know nothing about the Radicals.
Ultimate's a different game indoors. That's what we learned.
There we go.
Yeah, I agree with you. Madison, you don't know what you're going to get. That's why, like, when they play Indy again, and Indy's going to be that three seed, and they have to play from behind, Madison may take it to them and may win by like four or five goals. We don't know. We really don't know what we're getting. So when that game comes up, that'd be not an easy one to handicap.
Yeah. Listen, another outing by the Radicals. And I am officially giving them the nickname. Are you ready for this?
Let's hear it.
The Badicals.
Oh man, that is a huge, and you sure you want to say that on the,
but here's the deal. It's a double-edged sword, Zach. It's a double-edged sword. If they turn it around, then they can still be the Badicals, you know?
It's all about the tone.
Like a youth would use, you know, where bad means good. You know, like, oh, man, like this new Nintendo 64 game is bad.
I think they use the word bussin' now. That's what they use.
Yeah, well, bussin'. I don't know. I think there's what's happening with the youth. There seems to be just a either like a sauce or a liquid issue because everyone's dripping.
Everyone needs ready to move into the metaverse.
Everyone needs wet naps because of all the drip. This is a good time to go to commercial break, I think.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's. We need a little deuce ex machina here to end this story. All right, we'll be right back. The Tilted Landshark on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Right after this quick break. Now, on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine. It's a game changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper 2 by playing their new over under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over under. For example, we're going to pick a player. We're going to pick the number of points they score in a game or how many hits they have in a baseball game. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from two times to over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about Over Under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and we can play together. I've got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun for us all to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their Over Under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right, join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Welcome back to the Tilted Landshark Podcast. Once again, your host, Jay Sessoms, with me, Zach of LO. And we're going to ride or die with the boys on the west side here when we take a look at the Western Division, which was a mystery wrapped in an enigma, nestled in a little ball of riddles, just pandemonium, cats and dogs living together, up is down, black is white. What did you make of this San Diego Salt Lake game on Friday?
Yeah. Well, San Diego covers by the hook. And also, we'll talk about this in the next game. San Diego against Colorado, covered by the hook. No, Salt Lake looked good. Salt Lake's back in their, you know, normal form. You know, Jordan Kerr, 5 assists. Joe Merrill, 4 goals. And Clutton, their captain on the defensive end with 4 blocks. Paul Lally had to kind of take center stage. Goose Helton didn't make the road trip to San Diego. So Paul Lally had 5 turnovers, which doesn't help San Diego's case. Kind of a bad night for him.
Hashtag Lally gang. Go ahead.
We're part of the Lally gang. First team All American.
We represent the Lally Pop Guild is what it is. There we go.
Big bright spot for San Diego. Travis Dunn with Goose Helton out. He kind of was able to shine a little bit. McDougal, their big addition, San Diego, literally nothing this game. Had a plus minus of -1. So that means he turned the disc over more times than he either scored or threw an assist or got a block. Yeah. And Salt Lake, this game looked like it should have been a blowout. Somehow San Diego covered. Again, I said this earlier in the show. I would have never guessed San Diego to be a big 5.5-point dog at any point this season. And here we are, and they're covering only by the hook, which is kind of disappointing to see what they like. Their defense is bad. Their defensive offense can't get any opportunities. Let's see, what do I have here? Only 11 chances for breaks. Salt Lake's offense did a great job, but you'll find out in the Colorado game, they didn't have a lot of opportunities for breaks then. So they got to figure something out on the defensive end against these, like, these new teams that have high-powered offenses.
So, similar. All right. So I have a theory with the West, and as our resident data analyst, I'm going to put you to task on this, which is I feel like the back to backs are a little bit tougher in the West, and you're more prone to having teams just dump both games in the back to backs. I wonder what their winning percentage is in the back to backs. I've watched, you know, as a blood myself, I've watched a lot of documentaries about the gang situation in Compton and South Central LA. And it seems like, you know, in those situations, if you grew up a part, you know, certain member of a certain blood or Crip set, be it like the Grape Street or the, you know, maybe like the Rolling 30s or something, like if you left your portion of the hood, you better be ready to, you know, say who you are, who your grandmama is. I mean, we've all listened to that Kendrick Lamar album. We know how the interaction goes down. And I feel like that might is essentially AUDL two-game road trips because if you don't come correct, you might get smoked. And people have been getting smoked on these two-game, you know, back-to-back trips.
Yeah, so traveling I don't think is any easier in the West than it is anywhere else. All right.
I appreciate you trying to just shrug that off, but I want to know what you think of my parallel that I just made there with the gang violence in South Central Los Angeles. And
Chase, I think we established this earlier this year that your pop culture references, especially the rap-related ones, go straight over my head.
That's okay. I'll give you some viewing materials. Okay, I'll let you get on to what you're talking about.
No, I was about to say the road teams back-to-backs, San Diego and Oakland go 4-0 against the spread this weekend. So that kind of like goes against what we've always said. But as for straight up, with the Oakland-Portland game, we'll get to it because that was just a mess. But yeah, it's traveling in the West doesn't seem like it's an easy task because of how much you have to travel. I don't think they may have flown from, you know, Salt Lake to San Diego or Salt Lake to Colorado, maybe drove. That's not an easy drive if they do that.
I'm going to, you know what, let me amend this theory, which is maybe it's when you're the better team, it's like a flip-flop. It's the better teams are the ones that go 0-2 on road trips, and it's the ones that you're not expecting, like the Cascades, you know, like the Cascades in Seattle, what Oakland did this weekend. Maybe that's the case. Like, you know, it's a Freaky Friday. It's not gang violence. It's a Freaky Friday.
I don't expect Seattle to go into Salt Lake and Colorado. Or they probably already done that, and they did not do so hot. But
true.
I mean,
they've got some wins that no one expected, though. That's for sure.
True. They're the ones that started the downfall of Portland. They're the reason why Marks is probably not going to win Rookie of the Year. It's all because of Seattle. They did one thing this season. It was that.
Yeah. So, all right. Moving on, we had the second half of this head-to-head for San Diego going to Colorado. This time at Colorado, a big 6.5-point favorite. You already talked about that dirty stinking hook. It was a total of 43.5, which they just blew by, because they put up 48 total in this one when Colorado won at 27-21. Colorado -1600. If you bet $10, congratulations on your 16 cents, I believe, in this one. Somewhere around there. Colorado, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say other than...
You look good! All right. You look good!
They look good. They look real good.
So good.
Our friends at Ringer, at the Ringer AUDL, you know, they have Colorado on the top tier now.
Yeah, I saw they put them up there with them. Ahead of Carolina, finally. I've been on this team. They're not going to, you know, sneak past us as a... They're going to finish the season undefeated, probably. I was going to get some props San Diego real quick. Their offense cleaned it up a little bit. Again, the biggest issue is their defense. Only 3 break opportunities. That means Colorado's offense, they've gotten, like, I think 10, how many total turnovers? Like 10 or 12 total turnovers from Colorado, but only 3 came from the offensive end. Their offense only gave San Diego 3 chances for a break. And I think that does or doesn't include end of quarter turnovers. But yeah, Colorado's just a clean ultimate team. Another cut actually had a cleaner game, only 2 turnovers. He's still second in the league for most turnovers in the team or in the entire league. But yet he's considered the best thrower. It makes sense that they allow him to do that. And they just say, everyone else on this team, let's play some clean ultimate. Atkins, 5 assists, and Finer, 7 goals were the big standouts on Colorado outside another cut.
We've only got a few weeks left to play in the season, and it just looks like we are steadily marching on to a Summit Empire championship. It seems like if everything goes as it's been going, that's the way it looks, and it doesn't look like there'll be much of a question about it.
Now, I'm not sure. We'll cross the bridge when we get there, the whole Minnesota versus Chicago in the playoffs and make it to championship weekend. But let's say theoretically New York is going to finish undefeated, I think, by a landslide. If Colorado and Chicago finishes undefeated, how exactly they're going to do the tiebreaker between those two teams? I'm not sure. It looks like unless Minnesota pulls off an upset to make the playoffs, it looks like the South is going to get the 4th seed. And Carolina,
traditionally, it's usually points differential and everything. Yeah, I gotta think that's probably it. And if that's the case, you gotta think that the edge goes to Chicago because they're playing in the West in a division that's putting up a lot of points every single week.
Yeah.
Did I say Chicago? I meant Colorado. If I said Chicago, my bad.
Well, I once you said West, I kind of knew where you're going with that. Because it probably will be Chicago, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And if we get that, we get a Carolina versus New York rematch at last year's finals and this year's semifinals. Carolina doesn't have the same team because of injuries. Andres Young's was a big reason why they won it last year, but that would be a hell of a rematch. So that being said, San Diego covers the 6.5 points.
Right.
But Colorado, that is a damn good looking win. I don't care if San Diego doesn't look good right now. Their offense is getting cleaner and cleaner, and they're the dominant team in the West for sure.
There's no way that San Diego couldn't put together a push to maybe try to push Salt Lake City out of the playoffs at some point. We'll have to see how many more head-to-heads they have remaining, what the rest of the schedule is like. But,
I mean,
even with the tougher teams, the way that they're playing, you got to think that they make a push.
I think San Diego or Salt Lake – let me look at the standings real quick. They're 2.5 games back from Colorado, so they won't be catching up there. But they're only a half game up on San Diego. So they got the tiebreaker on San Diego, but they're only a half game up on them. San Diego right now with 2 straight losses. So it's not looking good, but if it ends like this, San Diego will have to go to Salt Lake City, which, as we saw this past weekend, won't turn out too well for them.
Right. So moving on, the big winners of the weekend, the team that I believe started 0-5, I want to say.
Yeah.
They have a they're on my Freaky Friday flippy floppy angle here. They go into Seattle, play the Cascades, who are shockingly devoid of Sockeye players. They are a 1.5 point favorite, starting to get respect from the book, worth noting. Then a total set of 41. They were the favorite on the money line, even -175, and they get the dub 22-17. They cover. The game goes under. You get to pay for all the juice if you bet the money line. And I mean, what can you say about the Oakland Spiders? And then
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
So
before I hit on Oakland, real quick, Seattle. Earlier in the season, after they beat Portland, I was so high on Seattle. I thought I was buying stock at the right time. They went into L.A.
Like you were buying Microsoft in the 80s, is what you're saying?
Exactly. That's what not AS, maybe like Bitcoin in 2020.
Yeah. Apple in the 70s sort of thing.
Yeah.
It gave Forrest Gump financial freedom.
Completely wrong on that end. That pop culture I got, that reference I got.
I don't know. This isn't supposed to be an insult, so if it comes off as one, I apologize ahead of time. You got a face that makes me think you'd like Forrest Gump.
It's a classic. I could get into the classics.
There you go. There you go. Please continue. Please continue.
All right, let's talk about Oakland now. I'm done with Seattle. Done with them for the rest of the season. Norden, Long, you're going to hear these two names a lot, especially going to the next game. And maybe moving forward, they could put a push. They're catching up to the Aviators right now. Don't think they'll be hitting that third spot unless San Diego just really craps the bed. Right. Norden and Long, 5 assists apiece. This game, obviously, it wasn't pretty. This it's all a 6-minute point early in the first quarter. I think it was at this point we knew there's going to be some ugly ultimate. Oakland gets the hold. It had 11 total turnovers in that one point, by the way. That it was – imagine playing – I mean, there was a timeout, I think, in there. A 6-minute point. Imagine running sprints for 6 minutes straight.
I love those because both teams are just pissed off at turnovers. Even if you're on defense and the other team turns it over, like towards the end of that point, you're just like, you motherfuckers, can you catch this? Like we're going to die out here. Come on.
My strategy is I'm going to chill. Hopefully you guys can get it. Oh, you didn't get it. You're not going to get me to play defense then.
You just start yelling switch over and over again and let someone else just say it. If their hearts are into it, they'll play defense.
I'll just sit in the corner of the end zone and wait for the disc to come back towards me. Oakland, a pretty solid game against Seattle. Pretty conservative play, too. Only 3 huck attempts. A team that hit double-figure huck attempts all season and went 2-for-3 in hucks this game. And then they go into Portland the next game. So if you want to give people the details
that spread. Oakland is a 2.5-point dog rolling into Portland. Total set at 44.5. Oakland a healthy plus 245. Dog on the money line. And hold on. My phone just buzzed. What's up? Yeah, this just in. Oakland just scored again.
it's going to keep on scoring.
Yeah, at 35-21, which has got to be up there for a beatdown of the season. I haven't seen it. Has anyone given up 35 points yet? I don't think so. Not even in the dome.
So I think Indy put up 33 against Detroit, and that was the most we saw all season, I believe.
Yeah.
So far, and then there's a few New York games. Did New York ever hit 37? Maybe if I'm remembering correctly, maybe just 31.
I think that if they did it, it was against one of those Canadian teams.
Let's see. They hit 30, 31. Yeah, just 31 max. So high scoring game of the season from Oakland.
Stop hitting him. He's already dead. Yeah, that was a 14 point blowout there, which at home, man, the Portland just doesn't seem comfy in the confines of their just dope ass soccer stadium that they play on. Leandro Marks, he looks good, so he's by theory
still looks
feels
good.
Feels good, plays good.
You look good. All right. You look good.
You look good, Leandro. But what's wrong with the rest of this team? I just got done bagging on Portland. I meant to call this out a couple weeks ago. I think it was when LA was playing against Portland. I'm not sure who it is who's handling their pulls when they're on D points, but he might be the best puller in the league. Just throwing that out there. So if you're out there and listening, I'm sorry for your slide, but you're really good at throwing it really high for a really long distance.
That's a stat I would like to see is hang times and distance on pulls. I think that's one they used to keep. I don't think they've been keeping it lately.
Yeah.
But yeah, this game saw a total of 3 blocks. It was an offensive game, but somehow Oakland puts up 35, gets a lot of breaks, and that's because I watched this game. Portland kept turfing the disc. Their offense just looked lazy and horrible. They looked like they were the ones on the back-to-back.
Just apathetic hipsters? Is that what we got?
Yeah, pretty much. I think they thought it was too cool to play Ultimate on Sunday, so they just decided to cave.
Yeah.
Something interesting about this game.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. You're about to say something.
Well, I was going to say, there's not when a team just gets its ass rolled like this, like there's not a whole lot that you can really glean from it, I don't think. But listen, I'm going to hit one more game real quick, and then we're going to take a quick break, which is the Detroit Mechanics with an X did not lose this week. Big hand, Detroit.
There you go, Mechanics Detroit.
They had a bye week.
Got them. We fucking got them.
Go, yeah, Detroit.
That feel bad.
All right.
Oh, man.
So we need to quite take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with the thrilling conclusion of week 9 of the Tilted Landshark podcast, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We'll be right back.
Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP.
All right, welcome back. And there's nothing left to do but take it down to the dirty south. I'm talking the land of UGK. I'm talking the land of Outkast. I'm talking about, this feels, actually, now in hindsight, this would feel insulting. The home of Master P, the Dirty South. We had Carolina traveling to Tampa Bay. It might be time to flip our stance on taking these, bigger numbers with Tampa Bay. They were a 5.5-point dog to Carolina. Total set at 38.5, and Carolina, of course, -1200 on the money line. We had been almost feasting a little bit on these spreads that have been too big for Tampa Bay. And it seems like those spreads are starting to shrink just a little bit, because I think at the beginning of the season there, I don't think there was any world where Tampa Bay would have been less than a 8.5 to even 9.5-point dog to Carolina.
Yeah. And so first of all, we gave a little shout out to Detroit for not losing this weekend, but Dallas and Tampa still both loss. Someone has to win. I mean, Dallas and Tampa, someone's going to win. They're going to play each other sooner or later.
You know, when you play youth sports and you have a really tall friend and he's the one that always gets called for the fouls, even though he didn't necessarily do anything wrong, just because he's the biggest, he gets the biggest attention. Well, that's like the Detroit lose streak. They're the punching bag. Yeah.
Tampa's offense at home, I've been seeing, is pretty atrocious. Perales with 309. Oh, no, Jaime Perez with 309 throwing yards and 3 assists. Atlanta defunk going back down to Tampa. He did okay. Tannen Hedges for Tampa, 5 turnovers. This guy has he's got a personal vlog that he's been vlogging his AEDL success or AEDL life. I don't know if he's still vlogging right now with a 0-7 start to his season.
Yeah.
And then – yeah, Carolina's. So I didn't really get deep into Carolina's stat sheet because
what can you get from this game? Yeah.
What can I? Yeah. Well, it's not only that. They only tallied like 12 of Carolina's 23 points. I have no idea what happened to the stat guy here. He kind of screwed up. Too hot in Tampa. Getting ready for the nightlife. Go hang out with Tampa Bay. I don't know what he was doing, but.
Ladies and gentlemen, simple minds.
You can do that for anyone down in Florida, honestly.
Yeah. I'll
take the blunt on that.
I, as a non-Floridian, I take offense when you don't pronounce it Florida.
Florida?
Yeah. I always think of Silicon Valley. Thank you, Florida. Is this another thing that just goes straight over your head?
No, Silicon Valley is my favorite show. We'll move
great.
On now.
Great. All right. Tampa Bay, just a personal plea. Please start winning games so that I can call you the Sex Cannons. Moving on. We had Dallas, the little brother, the Legion, heading out to Austin to take on the Dallas Soul, the shit out of Lux, or I don't know, whatever the opposite of the shit out of Lux is, because they're playing really fucking good Ultimate right now. They get the 26-20 win over little brother. They do not cover the 7-point spread.
They do not.
Maybe it's time to start betting Dallas. Maybe those numbers are getting too big. If they have another head-to-head, I'll have to look and see. Yeah, it's a game goes way over, set at 40.5. And Austin, of course, minus 2,000, the heaviest favorite on the money line this weekend.
So, yeah. Well, they get Dallas. Austin goes into Dallas next weekend. So what do you think that line's going to be at? Austin traveling to Dallas next weekend.
I'm going to say it grows by a half. I think it's Austin 7.5.
You think Austin 7.5? I want to go like 5.5, I think. 5.5, yeah. 6. And they'll see this game. I think the second game between them was a 5-point game, so maybe 5.5. Elliot Moore and Rookie of the Year candidate had 6 assists apiece. Kyle Hanke with 4 goals. I think we're going to see the number one play of the season or the game. Number one play of the weekend coming out of this game with Switek with a huge grab. This highlight's been going all over social media. This guy gets up and his feet are at Dallas. This guy from Dallas goes up for it. Switek's feet are at this guy's hips. He gets that high up. He double jumps over this guy.
Yeah. I used to do it in one jump. Team. No big deal.
Yeah. No big deal. Just an easy 36-inch vertical.
Yeah.
NBA, look, get Dallas at me. Dallas gets to host Austin next weekend. They're not going to win that game. We'll talk about it more, but after that, Austin has to go to Atlanta. Or no, Atlanta comes to Texas in 2 weeks. So we may get a look-ahead spot. And, you know, maybe we'll have someone on Austin come in next Monday. Hopefully we'll get the win so they're not a little pissed off next Monday. But I kind of want to get someone from Austin to talk about it. That's going to be the game of the weekend for sure.
Yeah, Austin has firmly put themselves in, I would say, you know, it basically it's going to be a CAC fight between the Hustle and the Soul for who ends up that number two spot in the division, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think if Austin gets this dub, I think that's it, honestly, because I don't think Austin has anyone else they had to go up against, so...
Okay.
Atlanta, yeah. I think all Austin has to do is play Atlanta and then Tampa and Dallas in any order. Atlanta's got Austin, and then they have South Carolina this weekend. And then after that, Indianapolis at home. I don't think that will be that big of a deal, though.
Yeah, well, we will have more breakdown of these games later this week when we get – hopefully we get some odds – this week, WTF mate. I can't believe they did that to you.
Yeah, that's another thing I was pissed about. This book that we don't speak of needs to pick it up. They need to get someone. It's not that hard to set these lines. They're scared.
They've been
right
doing
now.
So good for so many weeks, and then they do this to you, and they do this to depriving the people from double dose of RVG on the Tilted Land Shark.
Dude, Rod was excited to make some picks. I talked to Rod. We may have Rod back on as a guest.
Yes. Rod
to make some picks with us.
Rod, anytime is welcome. I love working with Rod quite a bit. But we will get into next week. Hell, who knows? Maybe we'll convince Rod to get on the next episode. Since he was had this past episode robbed from him by the book. So, I mean, we'll be back. We've got some big games to talk about. I'm talking about we're talking quiet bangers, DC and Philly. We're talking loud bangers. We're talking Minnesota and Chicago. We're talking throwdowns in the South, Atlanta and Carolina. It's going to be a good week. There's going to be a lot to talk about. So, we'll have to get into it next time. Zach,
what do you have to say to the people?
I've got one thing to say. Tampa, Dallas, and Detroit are walking down the street. And they all tripped on their standards because they're set so low.
Oh, wow. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm glad you said that because I thought I was afraid we were getting into a Mary fuck kill situation. And that, I don't
There's
know.
No way.
That hurts a lot of feelings. That hurts a lot of feelings when you get into it.
I would marry Detroit. They become my darling.
That's what I learned from my time in the county jails. When you just play MFK with the, you know, the people who are around you, just feelings get hurt and you have to talk it out, you know. I've never been to jail. Hence me still being alive. That's your first clue that I have never been to jail. But yeah, we'll be back. I might edit that portion out. We'll see. That's it for me. Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oaklawn. That is it for Zach Avello. That is it for the Tilted Landshark podcast brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And, you know, I need to do a little work on some siding around my house. And I hope I'm able to find my hammer because hammer or you're nothing. We'll catch you next time.